I just pray that you will reveal yourself through your word, reveal truths to us that we as your people need to learn. And so today we see in that study that you look after your people. And so today I pray, Lord, that you will be with us. Guide your servant, reveal to him the words that you have, that we have studied. And Lord, I pray that you will bring to memory and reveal the word of God to each one of us, that we can grow thereby and that it will be beneficial for us, for a covenant people, to be able to recognize what that covenant means to us. We pray in the name of Jesus, believing that you are here. Amen. So we see here that we are studying the plagues, the 10 plagues that God allowed to come upon Egypt. And there was a reason for this. What is the reason that these plagues are coming upon Egypt? What is the reason? Anyone? I believe it was in the first study, Exodus chapter 9, verse 14, if we read it, it says, "For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thine servant, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." God is revealing himself. And also that Pharaoh will let the Israelites go out of Egypt. God said, "I am the Lord." God showed his power then, and God still shows his power today, and he wants us to learn when he shows his power so mightily that he wants us to learn from that. And so we know that Pharaoh, in Exodus 5, verse 2, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey the voice to let Israel go?" He had a question, "Who is the Lord?" And he says, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." I believe it is through these plagues that God shows that he is the Lord. And Pharaoh will learn that he is God. So let's read Exodus chapter 8, verse 16 to 32. That's our study today, Exodus 8, verse 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and smote out of the earth. The dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so, and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into the houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, also the ground there whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians of the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice, and the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of the flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of the flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. May God bless the reading of his word and as we look into it. How is this in verse 16? It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thine rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." So how is this plague different than the first two? Other than that it's a different plague. How is it different? Yes. But the third plague arrived unannounced. They didn't tell Pharaoh that it was going to happen. The Lord said unto Moses, "Say unto Aaron, and stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust out of the land, that it may become lice throughout the land." He didn't go to Pharaoh like he did in chapter 8 and the other plagues. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him," tell him what's going to happen. But this plague, he did not go to Pharaoh and tell him what to happen. The Lord said, strike the dirt, and it will become lice. If we see and study all the plagues, I'm going to go a little bit further. It says, you will see that the third plague, the sixth plague, and the ninth plague, they all came unannounced. The rest were announced. You can read that in verse 16 is the third plague, and chapter 9, verse 8 is the sixth plague, and chapter 10, verse 21 is the ninth plague. And so we heard that God, "I will show you that I am the Lord God. There's none on earth like me." So God reserves the right to give us what we might say, or Pharaoh, a surprise plague or assault, whatever you want to call it. And I believe it is for this purpose that we read in Exodus 9, verse 14, "That thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." God is still God. Many people, when things happen to them, they will ask why. We want a reason. But you know, God is still God, and he doesn't really need to tell us a reason. And he doesn't have to do the plagues the same way. Now, I don't know if there's a deeper reason. I'm going to leave the floor open later for comments or questions. I hope some of you have maybe a deeper understanding of some of this than I do. But I believe that when God comes that way as a surprise, he gets our attention a little easier. And so this is how it took place. We read verse 16. Now let's read verse 17. And they did so. Aaron and Moses did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beasts. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Here we are. Pastor Frank said that the others came out of water. This has come out of land. We know the frogs were produced out of the water. And these lice, they come from the dust of the earth. And we know that so often God talked to Pharaoh and said that I am God. And Pharaoh said, who is God? But Pharaoh knew about gods. They had, in this case, they had the Egyptians, they had, they worshipped the earth god. My question is, lice or gnats? Any different. But I understand that lice on cattle, different kinds of lice. But here it says there's going to be lice on cattle. And so I don't know, but there's some translations feel that gnats is the better translation. Whatever it is, we know it's a plague of some fly or lice or something like that. When you think of gnats, it is a word that describes into your skin. When it says here, and the lice, and it became lice in man of the land, became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. You would be walking around, and if you see all the dust, it would just be like moving. It, to me, when I think of little lice or gnats or bugs that would bite or cling to you or your nostrils, your ears, your eyes, that's what I understand. That's what God was doing. Now, I remember some years ago being on a job site in the evening, just after a little bit of a rain or something, and there was just tons of mosquitoes. We wanted to do some work in the evening yet, and we just had to run. We couldn't keep those flies and or mosquitoes away. And when I think of this was... I really don't know if we can really picture. We sitting here in a nice building, clean, and no bugs, anything here. But this was a terrible plague. It would, I believe, be enough to drive me crazy. Because mosquitoes, they're on my ankles, they're everywhere. They're just, I can't relax them. And so I'm just trying to paint a picture of what it might be like. So it's awful. And everywhere, your ears, your ankles, your eyes, humming, biting, a terrible plague. You just can't get away from them. And he's also, when it says the dust of the ground, many of you have maybe had the experience, I know I've, when you sweep a building on a Sunday day and the sun shines in, you see all the dust in the air. Well, that's how I pictured myself, all these lice, just like the dust. It you can just see it clearly. It's just everywhere. We see here, I believe, the plagues. We had the blood. The Nile River was turned into blood. We had the frogs. And now we have the lice or the gnats. And I believe the plagues are getting worse. We read verse 17, it says, "And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man," and it says in man, "and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And then it says in verse 18, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beasts." Here they tried, I think it's a very important that we notice that the magicians attempted to imitate what God did, but they could not. The first two, they could. This one, they could not. Imitation. And that is what Satan wants to do even today. Imitate something that God does, even if it's not the real thing. God is still God. As we read in Exodus 9:14, that's a verse that we should remember. But let's read Luke 11:14 to 20. Luke 11:14 to 20. It says, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against the house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall this kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils throughout Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." We read in verse 17 or verse 18. Or verse 19, when they could not, and the magicians, when they could not replicate or imitate imitation, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But we also see there was, it says, and I just got to get my verse right here. "But they could not, so there was lice upon all the land. And the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God." We have the finger of God in the Old Testament. We have the finger of God in the New Testament. And we know that he is mighty. From the beginning of the world, we read of, or from the beginning of God's word in the Old Testament, we read of God. And we read of his eternal power, his Godhead. In Romans 21, verse 20 to 23, we read of his eternal Godhead. God is still God. And today, I think we need to remind ourselves that God's finger is directing this world, the affairs of this world, for his purpose. Here we see the plagues, and we sometimes ask why, but when we see the end result, if you keep coming to the end result, we will see that God is doing this for a purpose with the finger of God. I believe it is from the book of Genesis, and Exodus reveals how God is directing personal lives for his purpose. And you will even see it in your own life. It reminds us of how God's finger continues to direct our lives today. Even things maybe don't go as we plan, but somehow God is working out a plan for his purpose by his finger. And here it talks about a finger, now let alone in the future, by the hand of God. When I study Scripture, I'm amazed as I study this, how often it makes reference to Exodus. It all goes back to Exodus. Let's read Psalms 81, verse 10. Psalms 81, verse 10. It says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. And you can read on, and it refers back to this situation in Egypt. Acts 7. I won't go there today, but it's Stephen's sermon. Reminds us of how God's finger moved in Egypt for the purpose of establishing Christ's kingdom. And it's even for us today. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul compares our baptism to Moses' passing through the Red Sea. So often, and I'm so grateful that God is a God, through the Holy Spirit, he reveals himself more and more. And I recall as a young man, really interested in the New Testament, salvation, Jesus, what Jesus did for us, and the miracles that he did. But throughout time, as you grow in your spiritual walk, the Old Testament is very, very important, because how often in the New Testament does Scripture refer back to Exodus, to the Old Testament, that we're supposed to remember? I believe it is in Egypt that we begin to truly know the hand of God upon our lives. We all experience some of those things. But we also realize in this scripture that God makes all the difference for his people. As we read in this book here, Exodus, the Israelites, they stepped out in faith. Their lot seemed harsh. Their increased labors, demanded that they provided their own straws for the bricks that they were making. It just kept getting harder and harder. And when I think of these plagues, the Israelites were in the land of Egypt. I'm going to ask you a question. Did these plagues affect the Israelites? Or were they upon the Israelites too? God's people. Can you say that again?
He made a distinction with the flies. We didn't go into the land of Goshen.
That's right.
So the first one must have
affected. Well, we'll read a little and we'll study, but today we will find out that God looks after his people. And I believe the first two plagues it doesn't say. And we can talk about that later when we do a little discussion, if somebody has some insight on that. But we know that there is a distinction here that the Israelites were protected in Goshen. It seems that God's finger is clearly seen in the distinction that he makes between his children and the world at the end of the third plague. When we think of the third plague here, and after the magicians, they could not imitate or do what God did. It says then that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now, I want us to recognize today, I think there's, and Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. We are a people that need to check our heart. And he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. We read God's word, and do we hearken unto God's word? We will see time and time again that Pharaoh, oh, we'll get there a little later. I'll keep reading here in verse 20. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Here he goes and announces it to Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. Pharaoh comes and does his daily ritual, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Here we see that God wants his people to serve him. And he says in verse 21, or else it says, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies. And so the ground whereon they are. Here we see that he is sending another plague. Now I have a question. Was this plague of lice? Somebody can answer that later. Was it finished? Did God take it away? It doesn't say. But I want some input later. Now, so let's try and imagine, if we read verse 24, or let's read verse 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. He wants to, again, show them that he is Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So then we see that the Lord in verse 24 caused those flies to, a grievous swarm of flies, into the houses of Pharaoh and his people, his servants, and the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by the reason of the swarms of the flies. Here we can almost hear the buzzing all around your ears and eyes and everywhere you look. Try to imagine the difference it made to the people of God. Here they are protected. This plague did not come upon them. And yet the other people across the border, we might say, there was lots of flies, swarms of flies. The Israelites were exempt from that swarm of flies. They must be starting to see that the finger of God was upon them, revealing himself to them. Imagine just living in Goshen and beside the other, maybe there's a border and there it was full of flies. That would have been a real relief for God's people. Awe and fear. When you recognize you're protected We are serving an almighty God, and God is looking after us. God made a huge difference in their lives. Not only exempt from the plague of the flies, but I believe there's others. I studied a little farther, and there's others where they were exempt from. Imagine your livestock is unharmed while the Egyptians' livestock die because of the plague. And we see that, we know the last plague, God protects his people. Don't you think that you would then start seeing that God is on your side? And Pharaoh should see the other side? The Israelites, they were resting under the protective hand of God. This can still happen in a world full of trouble. I believe sometimes we lose sight of the finger of God protecting us. The psalmist reminds us of the Israelites' tendency to lose sight of God's hand upon their lives. Let's read Psalm 78, verse 40. In Psalm 78, verse 40 to 53, it says, "How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy." May God remind us here today that we do not forget what God has done for us. How he had wrought the signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor in the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. And so it goes on. The psalmist reminds us to look back at Exodus. I believe we can lose sight because we don't understand what God is doing. When we just focus on the immediate. Psalms 91, verse 7 says, "A thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." Again, reminding us. In verse 24 of our text, it says, "And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into the servants' houses, and into the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupted by reason of the swarms of the flies." The Hebrew word for swarms means mixture of different kinds of insects. Could be fleas, ticks, spiders, bees. That's what I understand. Swarms of flies. And we understand for the Egyptians, there was no escaping the plague. There was just nowhere you could go. You, at night, daytime, that's how I picture it. It was everywhere. In their houses, it was there. The insects, they came down by the, what we might say, I don't know, trillions, or I don't even know if you could put a number on it. But not in Goshen. Isn't that amazing? Not in Goshen, where God's people were. I believe God here got the attention of Pharaoh. In verse 25, it says, "And Pharaoh called upon Moses and Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." I believe this is the first time that Pharaoh buckled and said, "Go sacrifice." Till now, he didn't give them the blessing to go sacrifice. But he says, do it in the land. Stay in Egypt. Then in verse 26, it says, "And Moses said, It is not meet to do so. We can't stay here and sacrifice in your land. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?" They had cattle, they had animals that they worshipped. And now if the Israelites would kill them for a blood sacrifice, it would be a riot. Moses says, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. We're going to go out of the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh didn't want this to happen. And sacrifice unto the Lord our God, in verse 27, "as he shall command us." Verse 28, "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far." Don't go very far. I'm going to give in. I want you to do it in the land, but if that doesn't work, I'll let you go. But don't go very far. Compromise. That is what we have today. Church, the world wants us to compromise. You can read your Bible, you can sing hymns, pray, but don't go too far with it. It's okay if you compromise a little bit. "Only ye shall not go far away." Pharaoh compromised. And that is really what the world wants us to do. And here we see that, I see it very clearly here, that God, there's a difference. There's a division between God's people and the people of the world. He said, "You can go," but Moses and Aaron did not. If they did that, they would compromise. And I think there's a huge lesson in this for us, not to compromise. Don't be too serious about your Christian walk. It's okay if you go on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, you can just live as you please and take part of the world. That's what Satan wants us to do. But Aaron and Moses says, we will go 3 days' journey out of the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. As he shall command us. Here we see a judgment on the world. Brothers and sisters, those that are listening here today, in the future, in this world, there's coming another judgment. And those plagues will be way more severe in Revelation 16 to 19 than this plague here that we read of. The great tribulation, the wrath of God. Now we need to understand when there is a judgment from God, the wrath of God is different than when we read in Scripture that in this world you will have tribulation. There's a scripture that says he allows the sun to shine upon the godly and the ungodly. He allows the rain on the godly and the ungodly. That is different. That is that judgment, that those struggles that we go through, that is because of a fallen world. We are in the world, and that is really Satan's dominion here. But when there's a wrath or a plague from God, that is different. I want to point out today, very often people will ask about the future. Will we go through the tribulation? How will it be? I want to read some scripture that might give us some insight. In 2 Peter 2, in 2 Peter 2, from verse 4 to 9, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into change of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah," the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, "bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrowing, making them an examples of unto those that are after that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed that the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that the righteous man dwelleth among them, seeing he heareth, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished." Today's lesson, we see that God, I have to read this again in verse 22, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell." He calls them, listen, my people. We are his people. We, as believers, you and I, when we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the remission of sin, then we are his people. "That the swarms of flies shall not be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put up a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." How will it be in the future in the tribulation? Period. God, I believe, we read in Revelations 19, I think it's in Revelations 19, verse 1, it says, "And after these things," there was the plagues from chapter 16 on. We read of many plagues, and read that when you go home, the great tribulation. And in chapter 19, it says, "And after these things, I heard a voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are the judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, for her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 24 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out in verse 5 of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Read 2 Peter 2, verse 4 and 9 again when you go home. I believe God has a way of protecting his people. We see it here in the Old Testament. He allows us to go back to Exodus. God knows how to deliver his people. God, through these plagues in Egypt, leads his people. Where does he lead them when he leads them out of Egypt? He leads them into the wilderness, then to where? Canaan, right, the promised land. We can trust him. He will continue to lead us. He will do that for us in the future. But we need to continue a little bit in these verses here. I think our time is running. Well, we have a few more minutes. It says in verse 29, "And Moses said, Behold, I go out for thee." Sorry, I should read verse 28. "And Pharaoh said, I will let thee go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away." And then he says, and this I didn't read before, "Entreat for me, pray for me, call on your God." "And Moses said, Behold, I go out for thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of the flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." He is telling him that don't be deceitful anymore. You've deceived us. You said that you would let them go, or that you wanted the plague to go away. And in verse 30 it says, "And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and removed the swarms of the flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. There remained not one." Bo-yaftitzont. How does that work? First there's a swarm of flies, and he removes them, and there's not one left. How does that work? How does it work?
Power of God.
Verse 32. "And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go." You know, we are so prone to do this. When we go through a little struggle, we pray to God and we make maybe promises and ask him to take us through. And as soon as we're through and things are better, we drift exactly back into that same maybe habit. So today, when I look at Pharaoh's heart, I think we need to think of our heart. What is your heart like today? If we read Mark 4, verse 14, I believe that is very fitting for today. Mark 4, 14. Jesus said, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they which by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they also which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. And this is, and then in verse 17, and have not root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of their things entering in, choke the word, and it became unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What is our heart like today? The result of the plague so far was that Pharaoh hardened his heart, this time also. As soon as there was relief, it shows us the proud heart of Pharaoh. So I have a few questions, and one is about the plagues. We studied here today that there was God made a difference in the fourth plague with his people. The first two plagues, did they affect his people? I don't know, and that's why I'm asking. Or was there a difference between them and the Egyptians too? We're not told. So I'm just wondering if somebody has a thought on that. Anybody? Or don't we know? I think if you study further, I just read a few plagues further, and there I believe there is a division between God's people and the Egyptians. But I'll leave that up to the next study. That's something that we should keep our understanding, our ears open for, to have a greater understanding. That's what I'm going to be listening for as we study it further. Do you have any questions or comments about this study? And then we'll have a few, and then we'll have a short time in a word of prayer yet. As far as I can study, from what I've studied, the first three, I don't know how long they lasted.
The first one was a week.
A week? Good, thank you. How about the second one, frogs? I don't know if there's a time frame. And today, the lice, it doesn't even say that it was taken away. Or is it one on top of the other? Like it could work together, because lice and flies, swarms of flies could almost be in that. I'm not sure, but those are things that when you study scripture, there's so much detail that sometimes we don't. As long as we receive the lesson, and the lesson is that God is God, and when we study the New Testament. And it refers back to Exodus and the Old Testament. Scripture tells us that it is written for our admonition. It's important that we pay attention to what is written here. It's not just a story that happened then. There's a lesson in it. Any other comments?
I would think that the plague of the blood was quite a while too, because it said they went and they dug wells, they looked for water, so they wouldn't probably do that in a little while.
No. They might have a little bit of storage and they wouldn't know how to correct it right away, but that too, how does that work when you go beside the river and dig a well? How isn't that all full of blood? God has a way, right? But and the other thing is the fourth plague. There remained not one. That is, and it doesn't talk about that there was a lot of cleanup to do, or like the frogs. We heard there was piles of frogs and it stank. And you can just imagine how that would have smelt when you leave some meat in your truck for some time, and all of a sudden you start smelling. What's this truck is. Isn't smelling very good. And it gives you a little bit of a picture how terrible it must have been. And it's really quite sobering that God is God. But our time is running out, so we have a short word of prayer here yet. Is there some prayer requests that you feel we need to pray for? Anybody? Anybody here needs prayer? Sometimes we think of others. Maybe there's somebody here that you feel needs prayer, or you yourself. Don't be too proud to say, could you pray for me? Praise the Lord, the VCA missions trip, the mission, the students came back safe. I haven't heard all the details yet, but Walter says there's a praise item, so we'll praise the Lord for answering our prayers. We prayed last time for the VCA missions team to be safe and to be effective and to learn, and we are waiting to hear what you have learned. Yeah. Or how the Lord worked in your life.
I have a praise item as well. Just for context, last Wednesday we separated from the butcher shop, so we were without income. And Wednesday night I had a question like, Lord, you're telling us to praise or to rejoice in our times of trials and tribulations, and how do we rejoice in these trials and tribulations? And he really pressed very hard upon my heart that the bigger the trial, the greater he's going to show up, and that in itself should bring praise. And Thursday morning, my health turned around, and it's done pretty much a 360 in the last week.
Very good.
So I'm very thankful for that.
Anyone else?
You should pray for Helena Wall.
Helena Wall? Yes. That's a hard role. Reuben?
Since we're on praise items, Pete and Kathy found a house, and it's nice and big. You can go visit them, and there's room to stay there, too. So.
Good.
So we should pray for them, too, for their ministry out there.
Okay. So could I ask you to do that? You kind of know what the circumstances are there. And I'm wondering, would you want to lead in prayer, Walter, and your praise item for the VCA team? You would want to do that? Good. And then there's Henry Dick. Who? Would you want to do that, Henry? Lead us in that way? Is there anybody else that feels we need to, that there's somebody that we need to uphold in prayer? Why don't we start with Reuben, Henry, Walter, and then I'll close. Sorry, I forgot Helena. Who wants to do that? Sorry, thank you for reminding me. Who wants to pray for Helena? Martin? Okay, so Reuben, Martin, Henry, and Walter, and I'll close. Try and speak loud so we can hear you.
Lord, the way you've shown up and what you've revealed through that, as Paul has never met in person. everyone who's going through a trial and tribulation the revelation of rejoicing, knowing that you, God Almighty, will be showing up. You will be leading them, that you will lift them up and take them into your arms. Father, I can't praise and worship you enough for this. Thank you, Lord. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Father, I do want to thank you for this evening that we have heard of faith and we still look after the people. Just thank you on that. I want to thank you for the mission that we did have, for all the students who looked after us, cared for us, and protected us. We thank you. Many stories to tell, what to share with people, and we pray that they would be a blessing. Of being delivered, that would touch their hearts, that they would have a desire to continue in your word and to search deeper. Father, we thank you for all of this.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you were so gracious and extended your grace and mercy and your strength to your servant to be able to stand and to expound on your word and read your word. Lord, I pray that we recognize today without you we can do nothing. And so we praise you for what you have done and what you have taught us, and pray that you will continue to teach us. We pray for the Bible studies ahead and those that are preparing. Lord, it is our desire that we teach the word of God and that we teach the whole counsel of God and that we teach it correctly, that we are a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Lord, as we have called on you, we have met you again today, we just want to close with a benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I want to thank you for coming. May the grace and the peace of God go with you.